Hi, I'm Jay Grunke, Feldenkrais practitioner and founder of The Balanced Runner. This is a Feldenkrais awareness through movement lesson called Loosening Up to Run. It will help you learn to organize yourself for more fluid, efficient running with less wear and tear on your feet, knees, hips, and back. It's just one of many awareness through movement lessons that help make running easier and safer, and it's a great place to start. This lesson has three parts. Part one is an initial scan, which is about 5 to 10 minutes of running indoors at an easy pace while you observe some specific things about your running. Part two is the lesson itself, which you'll need to go indoors again and lie on the floor to do. And part three is a final scan in which you'll go outside again, repeating the running and observations from the initial scan to make comparisons and discover what changed in your running. Here's what you'll need to do this lesson. If you have a small MP3 player you can run with, load this recording onto it so I can talk you through all three parts. Please put it in a pocket and run your headphone cord inside your shirt so there'll be minimal interference with your movements. Alternatively, you can print out the scan questions and use that to do the outdoor scans, then come back inside to play the audio for the lesson on your computer. A third option is simply to print out the transcript and use that instead of the recording. There are a few other things you'll need for the lesson as well. You'll need enough open floor space that you can lie on your back with your legs and arms spread out and not bump into or have to work around any furniture. If the floor isn't carpeted, you may also want some sort of mat or blanket to provide a little bit of cushioning. And you'll also need a couple of thick bath towels that you can fold up flat to put under your head, so when you lie on your side, your head will be in line with your spine and your shoulders and neck will be completely comfortable. Make sure to fold them flat and smooth so that if you roll your head around, you won't be rolling up or downhill and you won't run into any lumps. So here's part one, the initial scan. Please start running at what is a comfortable pace for you right now. If you have warm-up exercises you normally do, please skip them. This lesson will have the biggest effect if you take time now to observe the way you naturally and instinctively run without doing any special exercises to correct the movement habits that you bring with you into running. Please don't make any judgments about your running based on these questions I'm about to ask, or make assumptions about what's correct, or try to adjust your form. Right now, the only thing you're doing is observing your pre-lesson starting point. First, just get a general sense of what your running feels like today. Do you feel heavy or light? Are there places you feel stiff? Are there places you feel like you're working too hard? Are there places that are uncomfortable in some way? Can you tell what part of each foot you're landing on? As you land on each foot, does your leg feel stiff or flexible? How much impact do you feel? And how bent is each knee? What is the overall angle of your body to the ground? Do you feel like, overall, if you drew a line from your feet to your head, it would be perpendicular to the ground, or do you feel like it would angle forward? What does your pelvis do when you run? Does it hold still, or does it move in some way? What goes on around your waist, in your abs and sides and back? Do you feel any movements or any muscular action there? How would you describe it? How about your upper body? Does it move? Check your chest and upper back. Do you feel movement there? And now notice what you're doing with your arms and your hands. How bent are your elbows? How close are your hands to your body? How close are your elbows to your body? And what kind of movement are you making with your arms and hands? All right, now pause this recording and go back inside to do the lesson. All right, now please lie on the floor with your shoes off. Lie on your back, and if it's comfortable for you to lie with your legs straight for a minute or two and without anything under your head, then please do that. If you need something under your head to be comfortable, use one of your towels. This lesson is composed of various small, gentle movements that will clarify for your brain some important things about coordination for running. So don't push yourself in any of the movements that I'm going to describe to you. To send a clear message to your nervous system, you need to avoid any feeling of effort, stretching, or discomfort. Begin by lying on your back and notice your contact with the floor. See if you can estimate the percentage of the back surface of yourself that's touching the floor right now. This and a few other observations we're about to make can form a baseline that you can use for comparison at the end of the lesson. Notice where you're most aware of touching the floor. Maybe it's a place where you feel heavy. Maybe it's a place where you feel bony or dense. Maybe there's some other sensation that tells you you're touching the floor there. Now notice where you're clearly aware of not touching the floor. Some places that you arch or lift away from the floor, like for instance your lower back or the back of your neck, behind your ankles. Where else? And now where are you not sure whether you touch the floor or not? Take a moment to notice your breathing. What parts of you move when you breathe in and then soften as the air goes out? And what else do you notice about yourself if you don't pay attention to any particular thing? Now lie on your right side. Draw your knees up in front of you to a right angle at your hips and your knees, so that if somebody looked down on you, it would look like you were in a position to sit in a chair. This is when you're going to want to put one or two towels underneath your head, whatever it takes for your shoulders and neck to be completely comfortable, and ideally your head should be aligned with your spine and the rest of your body. Make sure the towels are folded nice and flat so you don't run into any bumps or lumps. Stretch out your arms in front of you and place your palms together, elbows straight. Your arms should be parallel to your thighs, and both of them should be perpendicular to your spine. And now a few times, make a movement that takes your top knee forward in the same direction that your nose is pointed. All of the directions that I'm going to give in this and all of the other lessons are in terms of spatial direction, we'll be referring to your body directions rather than the orientation of the room. So even though you're lying on your side, the direction that your nose and your sternum and your belly button are all pointed in, we'll call that forward. So move your left knee a little bit forward and then bring it back to where it started from. Try this movement and all the movements in these lessons many times with pauses in between, seeing if you can find an easier, more comfortable way to do it. Keep your feet resting together, so you don't need to move your top foot in order to move your top knee. And since we know that you're not actually lengthening out your thigh bone to do this movement, and moving your foot doesn't contribute to any ability to move your knee forward, you must be moving some other part of yourself. So what part is that? Is it possible that your top hip is moving forward in order to move your knee forward? Is it possible that your whole pelvis turns a little bit to do this movement? Now rest for a moment. We'll take a number of rests during this lesson, not because I expect that you're physically exhausted, because I trust that you're moving comfortably and gently and wouldn't be physically tired, but because your brain needs time to take into account what you've just sensed so you'll be able to apply it to the movements that you're about to do. Now feel what it's like to leave your feet resting in a relaxed fashion together, but slide your left knee a little bit backwards. Your thigh bones really remain parallel, and you slide your knee a little bit backwards so it rests somewhere along the inner thigh of your bottom leg. Maybe you move only an inch, maybe you move less than that. If it's not a comfortable movement for you to do, then just imagine that you're doing the movement. The same result from the lesson will occur because it means the same to your brain to imagine doing something as to actually do it. This isn't like an exercise where we're making changes in the muscle tissue. This is changes in your brain. So the idea of the thing is very powerful. So do that a few times and then rest. Now feel what it's like to slide your knee first forwards and then backwards. Do it a number of times, seeing if you can make it a little easier and simpler to do each time. Observe your contact with the floor on your right side. Do you shift at all? Does something happen in the area of your waist? Does your left shoulder move at all? Or is there a tiny bit of pulling between the skin of your left hand and the skin of your right hand, as though the movement of your legs traveled all the way up your body to your through your arms to your hands? Very good. Now rest for a moment. Now try a similar movement with your left arm. Imagine that you don't have an elbow, so your arm is straight like a broomstick. You don't need to lock it to keep your elbow straight. Feel what it's like to slide your left hand a little bit forward of where it started. That's in the direction that your fingertips are already pointed. And then bring it back to its resting place without bending the elbow. Your arms will stay parallel and you'll just slide your left hand a little bit forward onto the fingertips of your right hand or in that direction as far as is comfortable. And definitely leave the whole weight of your hand and your arm resting on your other hand. Don't lift it up in the air to do this because that just creates a bunch of unnecessary work in your shoulder because of the effort to lift the arm. So do that several times and bring it back, doing only what's comfortable. Your shoulders are a little different from your hips, so there's a range of ways that you might be accomplishing this movement. You might feel that your shoulder blade slides a little bit, that your left shoulder blade slides a little bit away from your spine as your hand moves forward and then comes back. Cast your attention in that general direction and see what you feel there. A lot of times people tell me that they don't know how to answer the questions that I ask in Feldenkrais lessons, that they don't feel themselves like that. I always answer, well, there's only one way to find out. It's like wandering into the woods where you've never been before and you don't have a map. How do you make a map? You take a step and then another step and you look around. You see what's there. You see if you can retrace your steps. And before long, you do know your way around. So in this lesson, even if you're not sure what you feel, just direct your attention and over time you'll discover that you feel yourself much more clearly. So good. Now try sliding your top hand backwards so that the palm of your left hand comes up in the direction of your right wrist. Here's where it'll be particularly tempting to bend your left elbow. But that's really a different movement. It's a perfectly valid movement, but for the purposes of this lesson, keep your elbows straight. You'll need to move your shoulder, and maybe you'll move in some other fashion as well. You can observe your contact with the floor on your right side and feel whether you shift at all. So do that a few times and then pause for a moment. Now bring your hand forward and then backward, going only as far as is comfortable in each direction, and feeling how perhaps your shoulder blade slides a bit over your rib cage in the back, and perhaps your contact with the floor shifts a little bit. Maybe your head moves a little bit on the pillow or on the floor, maybe not. It doesn't matter. You shouldn't be trying to make something that I suggest happen, but just observe whether it does for you. So now as you continue to slide your left hand forward and then backward, observe whether there's any shift in the relationship between your knees. And that's good. Now rest. And now begin to simultaneously slide your hand and your knee forward and then back. Feel whether these two movements meet up in you somewhere. If you notice your contact with the floor on your right side now, you'll probably feel that you shift slightly forward and slightly backwards. Go gently and slowly so that you're not just using momentum and so that you're not going faster than you can perceive, faster than you can feel what you're doing. If you move fast, you'll tend to just keep repeating your usual habit. If you move slowly, you'll have a chance of noticing information which could form the basis for you changing your habit for something better, something more comfortable and effective. Very good. Now rest and roll onto your back. If your head is bent up on a bunch of towels, you'll want to take them out now. Notice your contact with the floor. Compare your right side and your left side and feel if you are as you were at the beginning of the lesson or if there's been a change somewhere in how you contact the floor. A feeling that more of you touches the floor would indicate that some muscles that were contracted and holding you away from the floor have relaxed and are no longer working unnecessarily, and so you're able to relax more onto the floor, to feel more of yourself in contact there. And now roll onto the same side, onto your right side again. Return to sliding your hand and your knee forward and backwards as you were a moment ago. Does your head move? Pause for a moment and then resume the movement and roll your head along with it. So roll your head a bit to the right, and then a little bit to the left as you slide your knee and your hand forwards and backwards. You'll find there's an amount of rolling your head that feels just right and will match up to the movement of the rest of yourself. Experiment a little bit until you find a harmonious movement of rolling your head and sliding your hand and your knee. Does this change how far you can slide your hand and your knee? Now pause for a moment, and then let's make a contrasting movement. This is very clarifying for your brain, as you'll see in just a moment. Imagine that your head is glued to the pad so it won't move at all. And now return to sliding your hand and knee simultaneously forwards and backwards, but gently, only the amount that you can do without disturbing your head. Go gently and slowly, be patient with yourself as you work out how to slide your hand and your knee without disturbing your head. The more slowly you go, the clearer it will become, so don't try harder. And now pause for a moment. Begin rolling your head in the same direction as you roll the rest of yourself again. So that as your hand and your knee slide forward, you roll your head and nose towards the floor. And as your hand and your knee slide back, you roll your head to look towards the ceiling. Feel how your shoulder and your hip move now, how your contact with the floor changes, and how these movements of head and arm and leg meet. You may find, if you pay attention to the movement of your leg, that you're actually sliding your leg farther than you did at the beginning of your lesson, and sliding your hand farther as well. And now pause for just a moment and rest. And now let's make another contrasting movement, sliding your arm and your leg in opposite directions. Think it through first. You may begin your knee sliding forward and your hand sliding backwards, and then switch directions so the knee slides backwards and your hand slides forwards. Pause to think before every movement, and if you get confused, just start over. Go very gently with this. It's a movement that's more limited in size than what you were just doing, but there's a very interesting sensation available to you in your waist, in your sides, and in your back. As you do this, you basically turn your shoulders in one direction and your pelvis in the other direction. You twist a little bit in your midsection. And it's exactly this twisting that powers you to run. So it's worth going slowly so you can become clear as to what you're doing. Very good. And now pause. Bring everything back to neutral. And then again, slide your hand and your knee forward and then back. And roll your head in coordination. And notice how far you're going now. And now just roll all the way onto your back and rest. What's your contact with the floor like now? Now roll to lie on your other side, on your left side. Bring the towels to a comfortable place under your head. Bend your knees up in front of you at a 90-degree angle. Stretch your arms out in front of you, place your palms together, and begin to slide your top knee forward and back, keeping your foot completely relaxed, just resting on the bottom foot. So you can go both directions. We'll plunge right into that rather than going only forward first. Frequently, when people develop knee pain in running or in walking, they instinctively begin to pull their hip backwards, even as they mean to move forwards through space, and they mean to move their knee forward. The intention is to protect your knee by putting less weight on the leg. However, this always ends up stressing the knee more because it puts your weight in the wrong place over the leg when you land on it. And in fact, it's usually a chicken and egg question of which came first, the knee pain or pulling the hip back. Your knee pain is unlikely to go away while you're still doing this with your hip. By doing very, very gentle movements like this, very slowly, and giving yourself a chance to feel with great clarity how much more comfortable it is to move your knee forward by moving your hip forward, and how your whole body can cooperate in that effort, then you can begin to run and walk more comfortably, using your hips in a supportive way to your knees. So you're moving your knee forward and backward, noticing how far you can go comfortably with each movement, and noticing how much of yourself comes along, how much of the rest of your body follows the movement of your leg. Do you roll a little bit already on this side? Can you feel your pelvis turning? Has your brain drawn conclusions from doing the first side and applied them already here on the second? And now pause for a moment and rest lying on your side. And now feel what it's like to slide your top hand forward and back, remembering to keep your elbows straight so that you move your shoulder. Feel whether you slide your shoulder blade on this side. Most people have one side fairly different from the other, so it may feel different on this side. Does your shoulder blade slide? Do you roll a little bit or not yet? And now pause for a moment. And now join the sliding of your hand to the sliding of your knee simultaneously in parallel fashion, forward and back. What happens to your contact with the floor or to your sense of weight and movement? How simple can you make it so that you don't have to do anything extra to roll forward and backward? And now rest. We can go a little more quickly on this side because your brain has already gotten the idea and is transferring experiences that you had on the first side to apply on this side. But we will go slowly enough that you can feel what this side is like unto itself. And if you ever want to pause this recording and give yourself a little more time with one of these movements, then please do so. And now return to sliding your hand and your knee forward and back. And observe what you do with your head. Can you observe what you do without changing what you do? Pause for a moment. And then combine it with the movement of sliding your knee and your hand forward and backward. So that you roll your head to look towards the floor when the knee and the hand go forward. And you roll it to look towards the ceiling when they go backward. And now imagine that your head is glued to the towel and hold it still while moving your hand and knee forwards and backwards. How much of your neck would you say is moving, and how much would you say is holding still? You actually need this ability when you run because it allows you to see where you're going. You cannot and should not run by turning your head side to side along with your upper body. It does cut down on the freedom of movement that you have to keep your head pointed forward. But you don't need your maximum rotation of your upper body for running, and what you can have with your head facing forward will be plenty once you're comfortable with how to do this movement. Now pause, and then coordinate the movement of your head with your arm and your leg again so that every part of you is rolling in the same direction at the same time. And notice the range of rolling forward and backward that's comfortable for you now. Notice how far your hand and your knee slide forward and back without feeling any particular effort. And if you do feel an effort, then do less. You can get a huge benefit from Feldenkrais lessons, not by accomplishing a large movement, but by accomplishing a completely comfortably sized movement. And now just pause. And now we'll repeat that contrasting movement that's so important to clarify the act of running, sliding your hand and knee in opposite directions. Think it through, start over whenever you need to, and check to make sure you're not holding your breath or clenching your abdominals tight. You definitely need to use your abdominals for this movement and for walking and running in general, but you need to use them not by holding them still so they keep you fixed in your midsection and prevent this twisting movement, but instead you need to use them for movement to make this twisting happen. You don't want to hold them tight, just the way you don't hold your arm muscle tight when you go to lift something. You allow the muscle to get longer and shorter so you can reach. You can pick it up and raise it into the air by bending your elbow and your shoulder. It's the same thing here. You want to use your muscles to move you. The moment in your gait cycle when you need stability is very, very brief. And the moment in your gait cycle when you need movement is the entire rest of the time. So your brain will supply the stability that you need once you master the movements that you need. Very good. And now bring everything back to neutral, and then slide your hand in your knee and roll your head all together in the same direction, back and forth. See how pleasant you can make it to do this movement, how enjoyable, how much you can avoid any kind of discomfort and just go for what feels good, what feels clear to you, what feels simple. And now roll onto your back and rest. Notice your contact with the floor now. How has it changed from the beginning? How much of you is touching the floor? Where are you conscious of touching the floor? And conscious of not touching the floor? And where are you not sure? What is your breathing like? If more of you moves when you breathe, if less of your muscles are restricting your breathing, then that's more oxygen you'll have to power your running and your walking. Then in due time and at your own pace, roll to one side, come up to sitting and then to standing, and see what it feels like to stand and then slowly to walk around a little bit. Notice what's different, even if you can't put a name to it. Take a little bit of time. The sensations that you feel, again, if you're not sure what they are, it doesn't matter. These sensations will become guideposts to your brain in doing movements like this in the future, in running, and in moving easily and powerfully. And then when you're ready, find your way to your shoes, put them back on, and go out again for a run. And now here's the final section of the lesson, the final scan. First, just run and feel what it's like. You might feel quite different than before. Give yourself a little time with that and then notice these things. In general, how does your running feel now? Does it feel heavy or light? If you noticed any stiffness or discomfort before the lesson, has that changed at all? Can you tell what part of each foot you're landing on? Is it possible you're landing more midfoot, which may feel like landing flat-footed, than you were before? As you land on each foot, does your leg feel stiff or flexible? How much impact do you feel? How bent is each knee? Is it possible that if your legs felt stiff and your knees weren't bent very much before, that has changed? What is the overall angle of your body to the ground? If you felt very upright before, is it possible that you're now leaning forward from your ankles? What does your pelvis do now when you run? Does it hold still or does it move in some way? Is it possible that you can feel a bit of the rotation that you felt during the lesson? Don't make it happen. Just ask yourself if you feel it. What goes on around your waist, in your abs and sides and back? Do you feel any movements or muscular action there? How would you describe that? How about your upper body? Does it move? Check your chest and upper back. Do you feel movement there now? What are you doing with your arms and your hands? Try bending your elbows to less than 90 degrees. That means the angle will be more acute than 90 degrees. And keep your hands relatively close to your torso while you let your elbows stick out the amount that feels comfortable. So your hands will be closer to you than your elbows. Does that make your running feel easier? Experiment with this to see if you can find the easiest way to use your arms, reducing effort through your whole body. And now, don't try to do the movements that you learned in the lesson lying on the floor. You should allow yourself to notice whether you feel some of the things that I've suggested that you might feel, but you don't want to force any twisting of your torso, any turning of your pelvis, any turning of your upper body. All of these things could be done excessively if you push it. So simply allow your brain to supply the amount that's appropriate for your running now. Don't prevent these movements from happening. Notice whether they do, and allow your running form to be regulated that way. And now if you're feeling good, you can go ahead and go for an easy run and enjoy.